All righty, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Bible says, do not be deceived. You know why it says that? Because you can be deceived. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, we want to be faithful, Lord. We don't want to give up, Lord. We want to plant, we want to sow, we want to reap, Lord. We want to harvest, Lord. We want eternal life, Lord. We put our focus and our purpose upon you, Lord, and we want to know you more. We want to be able to shout those praises of your works in our lives as we did earlier. We want to have fresh memories. We want to have new understanding of who you are, what you purpose for us, Lord, so that we're going to celebrate your goodness for eternity. Everyone said? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. You know, last week at men's Bible study, Dan Barone led us in a great time, and he shared with us all of the stuff, the fruit trees that they have growing, the garden that they have planted, and I was reminded of my mom. My mom is a gardener, and I was reminded of the worst day of the year. And the worst day of the year was that day, it was usually in March, when my mom would come into mine and my brother's rooms and she would say, it's garden day! And what garden day was the day that me and my two brothers would dig up the garden. It was full of last year's stuff, and she would plant it, we would dig it, she would plant it, and this is not her garden, but she would have all kinds of stuff. She'd get all kinds of seeds. She would grow peppers and chilies and tomatoes and chard. Seemed like every day of the summer. Guess what we're having for dinner? Chard, Mom. Yeah, we know. It's chard. Tomatoes, cucumbers. I hate cucumbers, too. But there's a lot of stuff that is just good stuff that came out of my mom's garden. All summer long, because of that day, the garden day, where we grabbed a shovel, that garden gave us all we needed. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Talking about planning our harvest. Planning about our lives, what we plant, the seed that goes in. Bible tells us, as we read today in the book of Galatians, that we're all going to be picking something. Amen? A man reaps what he sows. Now the problem is, some of us are reaping a bad crop because we've been planting some bad stuff in our lives. Amen? Anybody been there? Anybody done that? Yes. Now, the Lord has something else entirely for us, a good harvest. But what you pick, bad or good, depends on what you plant. And so we need to sow for a good crop, sow for a good harvest. Now, he says, also, he starts talking about knowledge. We're going to study knowledge in the book of 2 Peter this morning. And he says, if you don't know, see, we didn't know how to plant. All we knew how to do was dig. And my mom was smart enough to know that we were there to grab the shovel for her because she knew how to plant and she knew she didn't want to dig. Amen? And so if you don't know how to plant, realistically, you aren't going to have anything good in your crop that you're going to like. And many of us come to the Lord because of the crops that were coming up in our lives look like this. A bunch of dead, a bunch of death that is surrounded by us, and we weren't happy with that. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. We spend our lives planting the wrong stuff. And so we spend our lives reaping the wrong stuff. And you come to the Lord, and the Lord says, it's time to grab a shovel. It's time to start planting something new. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's going to talk about, and we're going to go through in the next couple of weeks, these 8 items that you need to have in your life so that you can reap that harvest for eternal life. You don't have to write them down because, I mean, we're going to get them. Believe me, that list is going to be up there. So if you don't get it all right now, that'll be fine. Peter is going to show us what we need to put in our lives so that we can get all we need. It says if you're planting these things, you're going to sow a crop for eternal life. But you might be sowing just for you. You might be sowing for what you want. For what I want, my selfishness. And he says, if you do that, you're going to be reaping destruction. You only get to pick from what you plant. So we need to sow good seed. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Rest of our time, we're going to spend in 3 verses. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're there, you don't have to move. Because we're going to talk about a message from God, and it's a message for the faithful. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, this is a message for you. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. First thing we start off, it is God who starts a work in you. And that work, the basis of that work, starts in His righteousness, His holiness, His justice. And it is His justice, that just component of His righteousness, that forces in us the need for a Savior. Because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Can I get a witness on that part? Because we have fallen short of His glory, because of His justice, because of our sin, it lines us up on His judgment. It is His justice that necessitates a Savior for us. Because without Him, without a Savior, we are lost for eternity. It is our sin that pulls us away from Him. In His goodness, in His kindness, and in His mercy, He draws near to us. And as He draws near, He gives us faith to be able to grab on to Him. It is God who starts a work in us. That faith that He gives us is the basis of our spiritual life. It is the capacity, gives us the capacity for us to grab onto Him. And if you don't have faith, if you have not grabbed on, all you can look forward to is reaping a crop of destruction. If you're going to get anything from God, anything good from God, it's going to come through faith. Amen? God gave faith to Peter. God gave faith to all the apostles. God gives faith to you. God gives faith to me. God gives faith to us all. What you do with that faith is on you. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So, if you got faith this morning, it's because you got it from God. Amen? You have the capacity to grab on, and you have the capacity to get something good. It is through this faith that you are able to establish a connection with Christ. Grab on and establish something. Now, your relationship with God is composed of, it has two components. There is a reliance component and a commitment component. We rely upon Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sin. Amen? Okay. We commit to obeying his commands. Not one amen. See that whole salvation. Amen. Obedience? Oh, what a bummer. See, if you don't have them both, then you really haven't grabbed on. If you haven't grabbed both, you don't know the Lord. If you haven't grabbed on to both of those sides of that relationship, you aren't really looking to get anything from God. You're not going to get anything good. Now, this faith that we receive from the Lord with the two components of commitment and reliance, also with it comes an understanding of need. You come to understand that you need a Savior. And there's a lot of people, maybe you sit here and you aren't there yet. I am doing okay on my own. I think I can make it on my own. Well, realistically, if that is you this morning, you have no need for faith. And if that is you this morning, you have no room for faith. But if that's you this morning, realistically, the crop that you're looking to receive is all on you. It was 20 years ago, next month, that Lisa and I moved here to San Diego, began pastoring this church. And Leanne, wonderful little Leanne, who's not so little anymore, we're sitting where Kyra's sitting right now, was 4.5 years old. And Joe, who was quite tall, was 2.5 years old. He was almost as tall as her. And we got here, and if you've seen the parsonage, it has a large backyard. And they went running out back, and they came back just a few minutes later. My wife just went, because she remembers. She remembers it more than me. They came in, and they were crying because they were covered in stickers. Now, I don't know who was tending the crop in the backyard of the parsonage, but it wasn't anything we wanted to participate in. Amen? So what we had to do was we had to plant grass. And we had put in new grass seed, and that grass seed began to come up. And as that grass began to mature, we were able to buy this slide thing. And, you know, it's like a play school slide, and the little kids, you know, there's little kids, and they're, you know, sliding on it, and they outgrew that. And it was replaced by a rather cool swing set. These are just pictures of these things. Thank you for that, Mrs. Metz. Next week I won't have any correction. It's okay. And so we had a swing set was very similar to that, but that is not our yard. And I believe I put it in on a Christmas Eve. And then they grew too big for the swing set, and then we put in a basketball hoop in the backyard, which to this day, JJ still plays basketball with Leanne's boyfriend, Sam, and they will play for hours, and they, for some reason, they talk like English commentators commentating a soccer game while they play. It's an odd thing. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If we didn't plant the grass, we wouldn't have room or capacity for all the stuff that came later. And that is why we have to plan for our harvest. Make sense? Amen. Now, that grass went in 20 years ago, and that basketball net is still there. All right, verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Our blessings come through knowledge. Notice, Peter starts us off with a blessing. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. And this is for those who have faith. This is for those who have grabbed onto Christ. And this abundance really means a multiplication. Let this grace and let this peace be multiplied in your life. And I'm wondering this morning, is ever-increasing grace and peace part of your life? Is that something that you experience? Because as we talk about sowing into our lives, this is what God sows into your life. Amen? There's stuff that we sow, and there's stuff that God sows. Now, we got two things we're talking about. We're talking about grace, and we're talking about peace. And grace is the favor of God, and it affords us this joy. How many people want joy? How many people are sitting here today thinking, nah, don't need no stinking joy? Huh, good. I'm the only one. Joy? No, I was just going with my hand up. But it was just an illustration. Joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. How's that for a crop? Kind of makes you smile thinking about that, doesn't it? Hallelujah. These are nice to harvest. How much of these do you got? How much of the grace of God do you have in your life? See, God is sowing this if you know Him. See, it's all keyed to knowledge. God is sowing this into your life. The second thing Peter brings up is peace. Now, what do we get from peace? Tranquility. How many of you guys got children? I said, Shanyette, you got a child right there. Shanyette's going, tranquility. Oh, yeah. Harmony. Accord. Anybody have any arguments on the way to church this morning? Who? Just Shanyette and me. Actually, I drove alone, though, so it's a problem. you argue with yourself, you got a bigger problem than just arguing. Tranquility, harmony, accord, and wholeness. And a lot of this peace has to do with wholeness, because so many of us, we are scattered because we run all over the place trying to pull our lives together. Amen? And so as we come to the Lord in faith, as we surrender our lives to the Lord in faith, He begins to multiply that peace in our lives as He pulls our lives together, and we become whole in Him. Doesn't that sound good? The blessing that we get from Peter multiplied more and more and more and more and more and more and more of grace and peace be given to you. And he says that the pathway of these blessings is our knowledge of God. And in that, God has an expectation of us to know Him and requires you to engage your mind. And for many, that is contrary to their understanding or their belief. Because there is this belief that we just kind of sit in the presence of God, and we just kind of kumbaya. And that's how we come to know God. But I just want to let you know it's more than that. The knowledge of God is how we move into His life, into His purpose, into His will. And it's going to require more than a kumbaya moment for you to wrap your brain around what He has for you. Amen? Now, there are two aspects of this knowledge. But Paul says, if you don't have knowledge of Him, you're not going to have a crop. And so many of us, this is what our crop looks like when we come to the Lord, because we don't know Him. Can I get a witness on that? And a bunch of us still got a bunch of that left because we don't know Him that well. He says, knowing God is how we experience His blessings. And knowing God has two components. There is an experiential one, and there is an intellectual one. God wrote this book. Amen?
Yeah.
Let me say that again. God wrote this book.
Amen.
All right. Incredibly, He has given it to us, and He expects us to have at least 7 or 8 copies that we can lay on our bookshelf, dust every once in a while. And when people come over, we can put one on our coffee table. Go look at how clean that Bible is. No, incredibly, He wrote this book, and He expects you to read it. He expects you to learn it. He expects you to obey it. In fact, we read Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. If you fully obey, how are you going to obey what you, I used to, before I got saved, I said, yeah, I'll obey the Bible, what I know of it. I didn't know none of it. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully, that means not just luck, not just kumbaya, I think I got something. If you carefully obey and follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. A lot of people looking to get high today got nothing to do with God. California, you can get high legally. Got nothing to do with God. Don't mistake it being legal in California and it being in the book. Can I get a witness on that? Can I get a witness on that? All right, I just want to make sure. Well, nobody going home. I'm not going there. Okay. And all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Our understanding of the Lord comes from the book. But it's way more than the book. See, our understanding of the Lord comes from a personal interaction with Him. When you come to the end of yourself, that is often when you run into the Lord. It comes from answered prayer. Can I get a witness on that? It comes from meeting God in your most needy moment and Him making provision for you. You know, people come up to me. Maybe people come up to you and say, you don't really believe the Bible. That's just a 2,500-year-old group of stories. You know, that's just a book written by men who want to get rich, want to hold the poor man down. You don't really believe that book, do you? And I say, oh, you bet I do. Because when my wife, after 16 hours of labor, was laying on that delivery table and she was hemorrhaging, because my daughter didn't come out well. In fact, my daughter came out gray. My daughter was born dead. And Lisa's mom was in the room and she gasped. She gasped because the doctor said, here, you take this. I got to deal with the mom. And she gasped, and we talked later because she was gray and she was dead and she didn't know what she was going to do. And I'll tell you what, in that moment, I looked around. The nurses were scurrying around and they were freaking out. The doctor's freaking out. And my wife's going, where's my baby? And I just said in a moment, I said, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, there is something wrong here, Lord. These people are out of control. The situation is out of control. I need you, Lord, to come to my rescue right now. And I'm telling you, in an instant, my daughter began to cry. And in that moment, I knew he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. Amen? I remember several years later, my son Joe, I talked about being this tall. He was about that tall. He was about 2 years old, and we went up to Fresno. It wasn't garden day. I already had kids, but it was barbecue day, and we had, I had just filled up the barbecue, chicken and stuff, you know, and had barbecue sauce all over my hands. Joe's running around, and I pick up the plate and pick up the tongs, and I pick all that stuff. I'm going to go inside, and I'm going to wash it all off. And I put my hand out for the door, and my spirit gets a check, and I look around, and I don't see Joe. I don't see Joe. And I look, and I see my mom's pool that I was swimming in since I was 10 years old, and I don't see Joe, but I see the top of the water moving. And I put that plate down. I run over there, and I see my son just as calmly as can be standing on the bottom of the pool, with 4 inches of water over his head, standing there. And I jump in that water, and I pull him out, and he looks at me, and I'm looking at him, and he just starts crying. And he said, and I am reminded, he says, you obey the Lord, I will bless you in the country, I will bless you in the city, and he says, I will bless the fruit of your womb. See, I know that this is a real book. 30 years ago, I was walking down the street in Sacramento, and I had come to the end of myself, that I was done with my life, and I'm walking, I said, Lord, you can have my life, I have destroyed it, and just like that, the Holy Spirit came into me and gave me new life. See, I came walking back to the Lord, and he saw me from a far way off, and he came running. Yeah, I believe this book because I know the author. Can I get a witness on that? And when you know the author, there's little doubt on what is real inside this book. Amen? You got to know him. The more you know him, the more you're going to get. The more you know him, the more you can get. Amen? All right. Verse 3. Sorry, I had stuff in there. God gives us all we need. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Our provision, all you need, comes from God's power. And I want you to notice that it is our knowledge. It is like our knowledge is a pathway. It is like an access point into our lives for God's resources, described by Peter here as all we need. That's a nice thought. Just pause on that. All I need. His provision is passed into my life through my knowledge of Him, and it is His divine power that is pushing it through. You get that picture? You got that picture? It is in direct contrast to what we come to the Lord experiencing, where we are trying to gather all the stuff that we can get, all the stuff that we can find, and we are trying to muscle it in on our own strength. Amen? And what happens is we end up often with all kinds of stuff we think we need, all kinds of stuff that we want, that is raising us up into a crop that we don't need. I'm wondering this morning, what do you need? It's limited. What do you need for a godly life? Because that stuff we got that we think we need, so often it is building a crop of death. And for us to make room for the stuff that we need for that crop that the Lord is going to give us, we got to grab a shovel. Can I get a witness on that? We got to start digging, and we got to get rid of some of the stuff that is going to kill us, like that stuff, so that we got room for all the fullness that God is going to bring through our what? Through our knowledge of Him. Are we freaking out, or am I just going too fast? All right, I got three. We can experience God's goodness, His blessings, His provision, because it is expressed in action. His goodness is expressed in deeds, deeds that we can feel. We're here talking about goodness is moral excellence or virtue. It is through God's goodness, his moral excellence, that He calls us out of darkness. It is His goodness that caused Him to send His Son. It is His goodness that caused Him to hang on a cross for our sins. See, it is His goodness that we are able to experience Him. His glory we can see. His goodness we can feel. His goodness we can experience. Now, goodness is the very first thing that Peter tells us that we should add to our faith. And as we talk about sowing and reaping, you know, come to the Lord, and realistically, you got no goodness. All you've got is badness in your life. Amen? And so you got to grab that shovel and start busting things up. And the first thing that Peter says, start putting some of this goodness into your life so that the crop, when it comes up, is looking good. Can I get a witness on it? See, some of you are thinking, yeah, I got some of that. I got some of that coming up. When we come to the Lord, all we're familiar with is doing bad. And we don't know how to do anything different. We're doing all we know. The second thing that Peter says we got to add to our faith. First is goodness. Got to get something growing. It's like that grass, right? You got nothing going. What's coming later on, you're not going to have any room for it. The second thing is knowledge. Why? So that you can begin to open your life to all the things that God has for you. Because the more you know, the more you get. The more you know, the more you can get. We're talking about planting your harvest. And if you're going to have a good harvest, you're going to need good seed. Amen? At least you can come up. I've been showing these pictures all day. And I'm wondering what you got. Because when we started off with the Lord, we started off with that talk picture. And before you knew the Lord, living in death was all you knew. And you become accustomed to it. Some of us were good at living dead. Some of them make excuses. Death isn't that bad. I think I could make it. I think I could handle it. And if that's you this morning, we got lunch coming up in a minute. That's the best thing you're going to get. Unless, of course, that other picture is looking good. Unless, of course, the Lord is here this morning and saying, aren't you tired of dying? Because if you're tired of dying, he says, while we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive in him. Amen? He tells us, you want to make the change? This is what you got to put in your life. Today we covered the first three. Next week we're going to talk about the next five. And some of you look at that list and you're smiling. You're going, oh yeah. In fact, this afternoon you're thinking, I think I'm going to do some picking today. Because I got a crop. I got a good crop. I got a crop picture up there? I don't have a crop picture up there. Here's a crop picture, right? I got that crop, man. I'm gonna go get me some flowers. I got some vegetables. I got some fruit. I got all this stuff. All this stuff that's coming up in my life from all the stuff that God has sowed in me and from all the stuff that I'm sowing in me because I've been working that list. And some of you look at that list, it's like, garden day! Oh, no! The worst day of the year. Because I got to grab a shovel. And I got to start breaking up all that old stuff. So that my mom can plant some seeds so we can get all we need this summer. And you look at that this morning and you're thinking, garden day, so you need to grab a shovel. And you got to start breaking apart your life so that Jesus can come. Plant some seeds and sow a crop. Plan for the harvest. Amen?